Welcome to today's deep dive. Imagine taking over a massive organization. But, instead of just dealing with a few legacy software systems or a clunky org chart, the entire corporate infrastructure was maliciously designed to actively work against its own employees.
Yeah, that is a pretty intense scenario to walk into.
Right. And today we are getting into a fascinating blueprint for dismantling exactly that kind of system. We are looking at a document from 1997, the White Paper on a New Employment Policy for the South African Public Service.
It's essentially the playbook, for how a newly democratic nation took this really oppressive bureaucracy and fundamentally re-engineered its DNA.
Exactly. I mean, the sheer overwhelming scale of inheriting a machine built to oppress and having to rapidly rebuild it to serve the very people it once excluded, it's just wild.
It really was a monumental task. When the newly elected government took over in 1994, they weren't just starting from scratch. They inherited a command and control machine built specifically to maintain power for a few.
Right, while deliberately excluding the vast majority of the population. And to really appreciate the transformation, we have to look at the broken machinery they inherited.
Yeah, let's talk about the roadblocks. The source notes that hiring a single new public servant back then took anywhere from 3 to 12 months.
Wait, up to a year just to hire one person?
Exactly, because the manual dictating that hiring process was just staggering. The staff codes and personnel standards totaled roughly 5,300 pages.
Over 5,000 pages. That is not just red tape. That sounds, like an absurdly complex 19th century factory manual, and you were expected to use it to run an agile, modern tech startup.
That is a great analogy, and it becomes even more obvious when you look at the demographics. The workforce overall was 79% Black, but at the director level and above, that number plummeted to 0.16%.
Oh, wow. Barely a fraction of a percent for the people actually calling the shots.
Right. That tiny fraction proves the system was working exactly as intended. Those 5,300 pages weren't about administrative efficiency, they were a sophisticated gatekeeping mechanism.
So to fix that, this new policy couldn't just, tweak the edges. It had to completely blow up how hiring worked.
Absolutely. And one of the first things to go was the closed shop system.
Which basically meant government jobs were locked down to a tight circle of insiders with guaranteed jobs for life, right?
Exactly. To break that open, the policy mandated open competition. But the truly radical shift was how they redefined merit. Under the old regime, merit meant very specific formal educational qualifications.
Which, under apartheid, were systematically denied to most South Africans.
Right. So the old guard could just point to a lack of degrees to keep people out. They weaponized those paper credentials. So the new policy pivoted completely. Instead of relying on a piece of paper, they began evaluating actual skills, life experience, and learning potential.
Okay, let me push back on that for a second, though. If an organization explicitly says, we care less about formal degrees, doesn't that risk watering down professional standards overall?
I mean, that is the immediate fear people have. But the document introduces a concept called merit in the context of equity.
Merit in the context of equity. What does that actually mean in practice?
Well, it argues that clinging to arbitrary credentials artificially limits your talent pool. By forcing managers to sit down and define the exact objective skills needed to do a job, and testing for those specific capabilities, you are actually raising the bar.
Oh, I see. Because you are hiring for true competence instead of just privilege.
Exactly. You filter for actual ability. But bringing in fresh talent only solves half the problem. If they step into a culture where nobody can ever be fired, that new agility dies instantly.
Which brings us to the accountability overhaul. Opening the doors is step one, but you need a new way to ensure that talent actually delivers results.
Right, because the old system offered a blanket guarantee of lifetime employment. The new policy replaced that with a mix of continuous, fixed term, and temporary contracts.
How does changing the contract type actually make someone more accountable, though?
Because it strips away the complacency of time served. If you are on a fixed-term contract tied to a specific project, your continued employment relies on hitting your targets.
That makes total sense.
Yeah, and they paired this with a strict, results-oriented performance management system. For the first time, there were clear, modernized protocols for handling poor performance, absenteeism, and even unprotected strikes.
So the mechanism is exposure. You can't hide behind a 5,300-page manual anymore. You either deliver the work, or the contract allows the government to find someone who will.
Ultimately, the white paper demonstrates that real organizational change doesn't happen with a new slogan. It happens when you dig into the plumbing and dismantle the invisible walls hidden deep inside HR policies.
It really is a masterclass in extreme organizational change management, showing how to shift a sluggish culture from time served to actual impact.
Absolutely.
Which leaves you, the listener, with something interesting to ponder on your own. If you were to closely examine the hiring and firing rulebook of your own workplace today, what outdated values or hidden assumptions might you find secretly baked into its pages?